it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, welcome into hour number two. You missed seeing the first hour. You can get that at the Fan Podcast, 105.1thefan.com. The Odyssey app lets you rewind, fast forward, except in the future or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check out YouTube, see previous days where you can fast forward and rewind. Also, you cannot go into the future. A little bit of housekeeping notes. Ducks game is the big nooner this weekend, so rise and shine for your home of the Ducks and all coverage here on the Ducks. What sports Saturday starts? 6 a.m. kick for them?
Oh, no. They're off this week, my friend, because with the early 9 a.m. start, that means our Ducks game day will start at 6 a.m.
Ooh, baby. Jerry and Jorgie?
No, like us. Our coverage.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we'll kick to Jerry and Jorgie at 7 a.m.
Our coverage at 6 a.m.
Dirt's driving down there at like 3:30.
Rise and shine. No,
because
it's so early. Northwestern. They're here.
Oh, it's right here.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah. But so because it's so early, we're doing a quick 1 hour pregame show as opposed to our normal 2 hours.
Well, good for them.
But we'll beef up the coverage in the postgame.
Where is that? Is that here or is that with our new friends at Grand Central?
They will be here.
Okay. All right. All right, so there's that for you. Also, football talk on the Fan. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll have web gems up at 11:45.
Nice job there, chum.
Thank you. 11:30, we will get into some special teams. But let's start. We were chatting about quarterbacks in Oregon, which will segue nicely into the Denver Broncos defeat Tennessee Titans 20-12 from Mile High Stadium. Spread on that game? 8.5. Ouch.
Not touching it.
Ouch. Game was really close, and at the end, Denver scored a touchdown. I was like, someone's real mad right now. Real mad right now. One of the more unwatchable games of the weekend, I was interested in, we're all interested in Cam Ward to see how he plays. I thought he was fine.
I thought his wide receiver screwed him over.
I think so, too. Thank God Denver has one of the best defenses in the NFL because that offense...
Bo was atrocious.
Could not figure anything out. Bo had a rough day. Bo had a rough day. A lot of balls at feet.
He looked like he forgot... Him and Caleb both had like quarters where they forgot how to quarterback.
Yeah, Bo just looked uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that was the... I think that was the most surprising thing for me because I've been pretty high on Bo Nix as an NFL quarterback. Simply because, I mean, maybe not like superstar Pro Bowl level, but a starter for a little bit and then probably a career backup because he has decent poise. There's no Sam Darnold in him. You know, there's no like ghosts.
No.
There's not a ton of Brett Favre in him either of like making really crazy choices.
The gunslinger mentality.
Yeah. He's just real solid, real stable, and already comes across as a consummate pro. I was really surprised at how poorly he played.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're getting quite a bit of that from him in general because he's older.
Yeah.
Like, you don't expect him to make those mistakes. And he's also a Sean Payton quarterback. Like, that's the guy they identified to be, you know, kind of the Drew Brees-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did Brees spread it all over the place? Yes, but you know what he didn't do? Make mistakes.
No. And Bo's not the prolific passer that Breeze was. I mean, at least not yet. He could be. But you're right. That was Breeze's biggest strength. And that's, I mean, look, every head coach is going to say this. That's their moxie, their makeup for every single team that they're going into is not to turn the ball over. But you do have coaches that emphasize that even more.
You know, you're going to let Aaron Rodgers, who we'll get to in about 10 minutes, you're going to let him gunsling it, throw, have a little bit of caution into the wind. You're going to let Patrick Mahomes run around and be a little crazy. Some guys just aren't built that way. And I was surprised to see a fumble, two interceptions, you know, just over 50% completion. I hope it's just a week one thing, you know, just like a getting used to it, getting into it. But dude, Tennessee is not good.
No.
And to struggle like that against a below average team, a little concerning for me.
I'm going through and trying to track down drops in week one, and I can only see one official drop, which is hilarious.
One official?
Yes.
Across the league?
Yes. And
That's not true.
It's absolutely not.
Is it because three of those are interceptions attributed to the quarterback?
I mean, the Browns, Flacco had two of them. Both his picks were just bloop, deflections up in the air. But Ridley dropped three balls.
Yeah.
Two of them hit him squarely in the chest. And it was just like...
You saw Cam's dad's reaction?
Dude.
He's just like,
The Titans had a chance to tie that game.
For sure. They could have easily won that game.
Ward was doing the Jaden Daniels thing of like, oh, I can do this, and just off platforming, throwing darts. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely. He had the over-the-shoulder one that I think the back out of the backfield dropped. And I'm just sitting there going,
I mean, Cam's one of those kind of guys you don't want to because he's a rookie, but he will get to a point where you're going to let him throw it around.
I mean, that was always the hang up, right? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, he had the Hail Mary at Miami and ended up winning the game.
It's what drove us crazy at Wazoo.
He can put you in trouble, but he can also make throws that maybe six other quarterbacks in the league can make.
It drove us nuts at Wazoo. We're like, bro, throw the ball away.
Because he thinks, rightfully, he thinks he can make every throw.
Yeah, he's got the talent.
His arm talent is elite. His ability to put touch on the ball, to make the nose go up and then drop down in the pocket, throw the laser that just tears somebody. Like, he can make all of the throws. Crossbody, off platform, on the run. And again, he was not good, but his stats do not bear out the level of play that he had. Because if he puts that drive together, let's say that the Titans get a touchdown, they score a two-point conversion. Right? Mm-hmm. And they tie the game, they go to overtime, and the Broncos still win. The discussion is, hey, did you see Cam Ward?
Without a doubt.
Did you see Cam Ward this week?
Without a doubt.
Look, was he great? No. But when winning time started, he was making throw after throw after throw, and instead, you had three drops.
From a Pro Bowl level.
In the final 5 minutes.
From a Pro Bowl level veteran, too.
Like,
that's what's tough. Maybe he had
a little money on the game.
Maybe he had a little money on the game.
I've learned from my mistakes. Remember that big article about that? I'm in a clearer headspace. You're not in a clear enough headspace to hold on to the damn ball.
What if he had the Broncos at 8.5? And he dropped those two balls. He's like, damn it.
Kick a field goal.
We lost, and I didn't cover the spread.
That's tough. But, I mean, the Titans couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't run the ball. And, again, credit to the Broncos defense because they were great. But, yeah, Bo put them in a pretty precarious situation by one turfing the ball multiple times. The picks were atrocious.
He
looked awful.
And he's got a week to figure it out.
Yeah.
You're at the Colts next week, and then you get Chargers, Bengals, Eagles. That's rough.
Not worried about him, though.
No.
I think this is more one-off. Now, but again.
And I think it's more beginning of the season stuff.
It's also, the sophomore slump is real for damn near everyone. So.
Look at Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan had one of the worst, if my memory serves me
correct. CJ Stroud had his ups and downs last year. Now, Jaden Daniels came out in week one. It's the Giants. But
sure.
He looked real good.
He looked real good. So, he might be the greatest rookie of all time as a quarterback, though.
Luck.
Okay. But one of them.
But yeah. But other than that, yeah.
Other quarterback play to take a peek at. Look, I did not have this on our card going into the weekend. Best game of the weekend, other than Bills-Ravens, obviously, Steelers at the Jets.
Who knew?
Who knew?
The national TV game no one wanted, everybody watched.
There's life in both of these guys. We'll get to that next. 105.1 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you thought Oregon State had issues on special teams yesterday, that was a narrative over the NFL week one. get to that in 15 minutes. We'll have Web Gems plus a loaded third hour. Hang out with us. We're having a good time. I mentioned this in the last segment. We're getting into some quarterback play. Were you more surprised or impressed by Aaron Rodgers or Justin Fields?
Fields. It's not even close.
I think so, too. Talking about Bo Nix last segment and like how he traditionally looks fairly calm and collected in the pocket, Fields looked really comfortable.
Fields, I think, had five explosives in the game.
I just like
20 yards or more.
I just liked his presence and his poise. It's amazing what happens when a coach like believes in you and you have the job.
I mean, yes and no. Fields has been a dumpster fire. Going to the Jets is not exactly a quarterback significantly better than Fields. And Rodgers also struggled there because of the dumpster fire that they are.
He's had a rough start to his career.
Oh, yeah,
some of it's self-induced. The Bears was not a good situation. No. The Steelers, that was so weird. Him or Russ, I mean, like, they both suck. Give me the kid.
Which is what they did, and even then, he didn't, like, he doesn't... The thing is, he's very inconsistent as a quarterback, as a thrower of the ball and his decision making. There's no questioning his athleticism.
Do you think a lot of his success had to do with, that Steelers defense not looking very good?
That's the first thing that I question, and I feel bad in the sense of like because what we've seen from Fields historically versus what we've seen from the Steelers defense historically. Your first nod is, well, maybe the Steelers defense just wasn't ready. You know,
sure.
You don't want to give Fields the credit because he hasn't done anything to earn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas the other side of it with Rodgers, he's a top 10 quarterback at least. For me, he's top 5 all time.
Oh, I thought you were saying currently. I was like top 10.
No, no.
Maybe.
No. But like
for
Rodgers to go out there and complete 22 of 34 touchdowns and look like a dude, nothing mildly surprising about that at all.
Three of the most talented people that ever play football or at the quarterback position, talent-wise, like Dan Marino and Aaron Rodgers and maybe Joe.
Manning and Brady have both said the same thing. Talent-wise, quarterback-wise, Rodgers is the guy.
Way better than all of them,
like,
yeah.
He's 6'4". I think he ran like a 4.5, 6.40 at a combine. His arm is one of the best in the history of the game.
I hope go ahead.
His processing is elite. His ability, like, this is a guy that goes to the line for basically a decade with three plays and it makes his own checks.
Who throws the ball cross body better than Aaron Rodgers?
Mahomes for 2 years.
But Mahomes were like floats.
Yeah.
These are like
rockets.
Rockets, yeah.
No, as far as arm talent and the ability to do stuff with the ball, and like, I grew up with him, you know, playing playground football as a kid. Even as a kid, he tore your head off.
Is this sustainable for the whole year for him, or is this just a get back Jets thing?
Yes,
because clearly
it's both.
Clearly, I didn't think he was going to have that as much on his mind, or at least share it with the public.
Oh,
but he was pretty vocal about.
Yeah, he wanted to stick it to him. I mean, yeah, I get it. The only question I have is the age. Does he get hit a few times and you know the body starts to wear down? The question was, somebody said, was it Boomer Esiason? It was a retired quarterback commentator. I was like, I was talking to people and they're saying that, you know, Rodgers' arm is going and he's off by like 3 to 6 inches on his passes over and over and over again. You know what I saw this weekend? I saw one of the most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history being one of the most accurate quarterbacks in NFL history.
Yeah, see that for sure. I mean, some of that is that, I mean, I know Aaron Glenn's a defensive guy, but some of that is just that team's not ready. That team's not ready to compete.
No.
Defensively. But Aaron Rodgers, 22 of 30, 244, 4 TDs, sacked 4 times.
Yeah.
I don't love that. There was no run game whatsoever from Pittsburgh, it kind of had to.
Both New York teams have very good fronts defensively.
Like, yes.
That's where their strength of their team lies. Will McDonald, because he's a Jet and we don't give a crap about the Jets out here, Will McDonald's a terrorist.
Yeah.
He is an absolute terrorist as a pass rusher. He is very, very, very good. And then you've got Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams. They've got dudes on that team as far as that front seven goes.
And to Rodgers' defense, he made his receivers look good. He's going to like DK. That's going to work out well, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Aaron's used to having like a really good route running possession guy. I'm like, you know what else he likes? Having a 6'5" freak of nature.
Yeah. I mean, Devontae was his guy.
Yeah.
Would you, do you count Devontae as six, as freak big guy?
He's not that big, but like his catch radius is otherworldly.
He's big enough. You don't have to be the size of T.O. to be big.
Just because the Packers had Jordy Nelsons for years.
Right, right.
It wasn't because.
Even like the Robert Brooks of the of the yesteryears with Favre.
You know what Aaron
stuff?
Would have loved to have? Calvin Johnson. You know, like
Brett Favre would have loved to have Terrell Owens
or Anquan Boldin or Larry Fitzgerald, just an absolute steaming truck of a human who catches everything.
I always forget how big and how awesome Anquan Boldin was, and I feel bad about that because he's a good player.
Because he fell in the draft because he ran like a 4.8 40.
Oh man, that guy was good.
Yeah, really good. Big butts matter.
I know you like butts.
Anquan Boldin, huge butt.
Huge.
I like big butts.
Mm-hmm. You like big butts? You can't lie? Well, don't lie on this show. 503-864-6326. Rogers still has a great arm, but I fear that he's one bad sack away from retirement. I hear you on that, and I do wonder.
You can say that about damn near every quarterback.
God, I can't stop thinking
you
about
it. You Theismann somebody, or you Alex Smith somebody, one bad sack can end it all.
Well, who's really one bad sack away from retirement is Tua.
Tua, yeah.
Well, yeah. Tua might not even need to take that bad sack.
Yeah, he may have already taken it.
Hey-o. I can't help but look at Aaron Rodgers like Brett Favre. I just can't. It's just so difficult to get out of my brain.
I'm so glad he didn't go
you
to
had
Vikings.
Some bad Jets teams, and now you look alive.
I'm so glad
on
he
a
didn't.
Different team. I wanted him to go to Minnesota so bad.
I'm so glad he
did. I
didn't.
Wanted him to go so bad.
He'd just be like, oh my God, we're really going to do this?
Especially because he hates that he lives in his shadow so much.
Just to go to the same
I bet
teams.
You he knew Minnesota was a good choice and just refused
he was
to
like,
do
no,
it.
No.
Minnesota would have been such a good choice.
I mean, throwing to Justin Jefferson?
Yes, dude. Revenge against the Packers? Let's go.
Because you know they would have.
God, I was just like, one of the few things in NFL history I've ever wanted more than that. Give it to me.
Yeah.
Look, if you're going to be the S Show media game, look, you're on the board behind me for a reason, all right? I don't have to tap the sign today because we actually have new information and new data and new opinions.
He looked really good.
But, like, if you want to be this media S Show, dude, you got to at least give us something.
I'll tell you what, though.
And playing in Minnesota would have done it for me.
I will say this. Aaron Rodgers had to look that good because the Steelers could not run the ball to save their life.
I know.
The running game in the NFL this week one was, outside of Derrick Henry, was rough.
Real rough. Real rough. I mean, Jalen Hurts led, and he's got Saquon Barkley.
You know? I mean, just like,
Detroit could not run the football whatsoever. San Francisco couldn't get it going with Christian McCaffrey.
Etienne did run for a $1.43. I forgot about him with Jacksonville.
Cool.
Yeah. But other than that,
they played a preseason game.
You had what? Three guys. Three guys ran for 100 yards.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
But, you know, I think some of that, and we have talked about this in our kind of initial week one reactions in general, is just defenses are ready to go before offenses. And we saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Joe looked bad. Bo looked bad. Baker looked average.
Okay. Yeah. Burrow looked bad. And, he had one of the worst games of his career.
And, Aaron Rodgers looked good against a defense that's probably not very good.
I think
Justin Fields looked good against a defense that for some reason is maybe not very good.
I think the Jets defense is pretty good.
Four touchdowns. I think get four sacks.
Yeah, I mean, they've got good secondary. You're coached up by a great secondary coach.
And the old man shows life.
I just think it's Rodgers just look good. I think that's ultimately when it comes down. The first ballot Hall of Famer looked good. Shocking.
And we'll leave it at that. All right, when we come back, some interesting stuff I saw over the weekend when it comes to special teams. What is going on? Are we not paying attention enough to this? So we'll get to that, plus web gems to finish out the hour. But first, we'll toss it over to Jeff with sports.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have web gems here in about 15 minutes. Loaded third hour. A lot to get up in that because we'll get into some Monday Night Football reactions. And is it time to rip some darts? Plus closing arguments to send you on your way. I believe week one of the NFL had 9 field goals missed. and 3 extra points.
Yeah. Kickers getting the yips is certainly a thing.
I mean, to the point where normally conservative on fourth down Kyle Shanahan has decided, look, Brock, I don't care what you do. Get some yards. You're getting two
downs. If we're not inside 40,
you're getting two downs, bud. It's 3rd and 8. That's all right, man. Get 6. We'll get the next 2 on 4th.
Oh, they did it.
What?
They waved Moody.
Who did what?
The Niners waved the kicker. I don't listen to the update. Come on now. Come on now.
I even talked about this at the beginning when we were in the bullpen.
I think it's been in my last 2 updates.
Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah. We know that. I
mentioned it. I mentioned it while we were doing show prep before.
I wasn't over there.
You were too.
No,
you
wasn't there. No. No.
Oh man.
Nope.
My hearing is great.
Anywho,
hearing's great.
My hearing is fantastic.
Yeah, hearing's great. It's whether or not I'm paying attention. Paying attention? Nope. Yeah. No. I look. I missed the signings this morning because I was stuck in traffic for ungodly amount of time.
He did ask me in the break like a half hour ago. He was like, "Somebody get Jabril Peppers," and I was like, "Yeah." The Steelers did. Yeah.
Well, normally,
this morning.
Normally, I get here and I can grab my phone and go through everything quickly, but I got here 25 minutes late.
In my award-winning SportsCenter updates, that one's been in everyone so far.
Hey, to be clear, I don't ever listen to the update.
You do here.
Yeah, no. Headphones come off. I start doing other stuff, man. It is what it is.
Ron, are you paying attention?
Nope. Nope. To quote Luke Anderson, quoting me, welcome to my life.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Welcome to my life.
But yeah, I mean, it's so weird. The proliferation of kickers, like the ability to bang 60-yard field goals is nuts.
Dude, look at Matt Prater on Sunday. Less than 100 days with a team?
Yeah, just the kicker last night for the Vikings set a Soldier Field record, 59-yarder. That thing was good from 60, yeah. 61. It was just – it's just – The range that before the end of the season, somebody will kick a 70-yarder.
But it also just wasn't like kicks too. Look at going back to the Denver Tennessee game. There's some bad special teams going on there. Field advantage. I saw some not great stuff last night in Monday Night Football.
Bro, the end of that game, Luther Burden beats one more guy.
Right.
Doesn't stumble. The Bears are Devin Hestering a walk-off.
Did you see Kevin O'Connell last night yelling at they showed the replay, and the guy is getting the kick in the end zone, and Kevin O'Connell is like, run it out.
Bring it out,
bro. Bring it out.
Yeah.
And I think it was a lot of like...
The new kickoff is still... Guys are still trying to figure out when and where to go.
Well, I think there was a report. I think I saw it. Let me see if I can pull it up. It was on ESPN this morning. The headline reads, massive uptick in NFL kickoff return rate. Mm-hmm. The highest single-week return rate in 15 years.
Yeah, they want that.
Teams returned 118, 156 kicks for a 75.6 return rate. The last time there was a higher return rate for a week was week 17 of 2010. Last time higher than 50% also in 2010. I think maybe that's also part of a little bit of the preseason stuff is that we don't believe you've got your special teams kicking game really figured out yet.
Hey man, look,
I would think, special teams in preseason. I mean, you're a full go in that. Are you not?
You would think.
I mean, there's a lot of guys trying to make those last roster spots, but as far as your long snapper, your placeholder, your returners, I feel like you have most of that ready to go.
I don't want to say there's not as much to gain on the special teams, but there's so much more to lose.
Go ask Trent Bray. Go ask Beav Nation right now what they feel about special teams.
Again, but it's not as much you're gaining this much, but the loss
you can lose it.
Yeah, it's not where. Well, you will win games there because it's not. But it's just that third facet of the game is so different because kickers and punters are just. I was thinking this last night watching the Bears Vikings game. Is it Rashard, the Vikings kicker?
Mm-hmm.
Watching him come out and me go, that dude is an entirely different species of human in that locker room. You are so divorced from everything else that team does. You live in your own little world. You look like an accountant.
Do you know my quote from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade?
Mm.
Have I told you this?
Mm-mm.
So in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Harrison Ford and Sean Connery have to go to Berlin to get the book,
mm-hmm.
the little diary. And they roll into Berlin, and there's a Nazi book-burning rally there.
Yeah.
Okay? And they're, like, looking around, like, Harrison Ford's going to, like, oh, God, this is a bad idea. And Sean Connery turns to him, and he says, son, we are pilgrims in an unholy land.
Yeah.
And that's probably where kickers live in that, you know, just kind of, you are so out of place, yet so necessary, that's probably what creates that mental gymnastics you have to play. Like
the Vikings kicker, literally, if you Google him, if you're capable right now, it's Will, is it Reichard?
I have no idea.
It's Reichard. I heard the name last night, but I hadn't heard it before.
Rashad.
If you Google him, if you remove the, if you Photoshop the jersey off of him and just put him in a t-shirt, he's an accountant. I'm not kidding. He's 6'1", 190.
Well, I don't
But like, if you look at him, he does not look remotely athletic.
Well, I don't love to say it, but that is the question that is asked all the time. Are kickers NFL players?
I mean, you get the occasional one, like McAfee, who was a hell of an athlete.
Who was the...
Janikowski.
Vanderjack was a big dude.
Yeah, Vanderjack was a big dude.
The
but like,
liquored up kicker himself.
Yeah, but I mean, like, and obviously Seabass was a massive humanity. Yeah, yeah. He's the one-off of one-offs. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I just remember him standing out so much because he was just, he looks, even though at 6'1", 190, he just looks so tiny. And I'm sitting there watching this guy going, this guy, like, because he hits that 59-yarder and it gets mobbed going into the half. Like, right. That literally ended up being the difference in the game. And he just looks so out of place. He looks so out of place. It was just so, it's just a staggering, staggering thing.
Falcons missed a field goal to beat the Bucks. Jets missed a field goal that would have beat the Steelers. Titans had some rough stuff, too. So did the Broncos, though. That game was rough. It's one of those things I just don't think you can underestimate it. I actually will push back on you in the sense that I think there is a lot to gain from special teams. It's just very much hidden.
I don't mean that there's not something to gain. I mean it in the sense that the negative is so much worse than the positive.
I'll agree with you on that. I thought you were saying...
No, bad special teams will cripple you.
I thought you were saying that the return isn't that great.
Oh, no. The return is there. It's just, I think if you're talking about scaling, if you're saying the most you can get like on a 0 to 10 scale is 10, I think there's like a negative 15. Like, yeah, you can get 10, but I think you can lose 15. Like, I'm not talking points, but I'm just talking like a scale.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's like the negative is 1.5 times as bad as the positive at one.
Okay, I can follow
that. Does
that
make sense?
I can follow that. Yeah. Again, I hate to keep bringing this up. Ask the Oregon State Beavers.
Yeah.
Like, it will absolutely sink you.
It's just, it can be so unbelievably brutal.
But I think because it can absolutely sink you, that's probably why there is a lot of that headspace that's not in an easy spot. Because you have what appears in front of you to be something so straightforward, so simple, so easy, anybody can do it, that because you're already kind of an outlier in terms of a classic football player, meets something that you do repetitively in practice. Boy, I'm stroking out today. Something you do repetitively in practice that once the lights are on, it's like it's different than a free throw.
Yeah.
It's different than a free throw. It's different than
it's so
throwing
holistically
from shortstop
different from
to
the
first base.
Yeah, it's just so holistically different from the rest of the game.
Yeah, it really is.
It's
the only time in football you use your feet.
It's a different sport. Yeah. When you're kicking and punting, it is a different sport.
That's true.
It's so team dependent. Then don't be wrong, and an extra point and a punt and stuff like that, you need to block right, all those things. But it's so much simpler, air quotes. It's snap, hold, kick, or snap, kick.
Mm-hmm.
There's not this proliferation of everything else around. And yes, on a punt, you have gunners and coverage and all that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about the execution of that thing is so narrowed down to one or two people that it's the margin for error is so much wider. Despite it being less quote unquote people involved.
Just kick better. Just kick better.
It's weird that we're getting better and the range is getting further.
Mm-hmm.
And yet go up and down a roster right now. How many kickers names do you know? Where in the past you had so many 15, 18, 20 year kickers Those guys are gone.
I was stoked on Sunday when they said Matt Prater. I was like, I know that guy. Yeah. I know who that guy is.
You've got Graham Gano. You've got Prater. You've got Boswell.
Who's the kid in...
Carlson for the Raiders has been there for a while.
Dicker
the kicker. Pittsburgh is Boswell.
Boswell. I mentioned Boswell. Is Max Crosby still in Green Bay? That was a joke. I know he's not. He's been long gone.
But yeah, I mean, you just got to go down the list. There's not as many of those guys.
And like, take the kid in Atlanta who won the job in preseason and he cost him the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't envy. It's a tough gig to have. Tough gig to have.
Yeah, you're talking about Koo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's been pretty good for them.
Tough gig to have. All right, we come back. Everybody's favorite, Web Gems. 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Marang on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is Web Gems, everybody's favorite, doing 11:45 or a day, all day or a day. As I've teased throughout the show, we come back in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get into Monday Night Football reactions. The tale of two cities, the tale of two quarterbacks, the tale of one guy sucks, the tale of two guys are good. Just waiting to see if you were listening.
No, I'm listening. I'm just wondering if you're going to land that ship.
Nope. She gone.
Okay.
Ship not landing. Not landing today. But Web Gems today brings us to the state versus state rivalry of Missouri and Kansas.
Mm.
Did you see the kid who got the offer to kick the field goal to win some money?
No.
A Missouri student was given the opportunity, I believe, at halftime. To kick the field goal, to like win money or a scholarship or something like that.
45-yard field goal.
And instead, he turned around, kicked the ball towards the Kansas side of the crowd, lifted up his shirt that said, Bleep Kansas.
Hell yes.
Right? State rivalries, pettiness knows no bounds. And then there was a video of him running up the stairs of the Missouri student section, getting high fives from everybody.
I mean, yeah.
I hope that kid got some action at night.
I saw a Ring video of a husband and wife. One's a Mizzou grad, the other one's a Kansas grad.
Yeah.
It's a house divided kind of deal. And the wife who went to Mizzou had put a Mizzou flag out front. So when he walked out in the morning on game day, saw the Mizzou flag, and he just he grabs it and turns it into a javelin. He's like, you hear him like, oh, hell no. We're getting this bleep out of here. Just yeet and just throws it a mile. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of hatred I can get behind.
I didn't really realize those guys haven't played each other a whole lot lately.
No.
I would think that's always on the books in the non-conference.
It's been, 50 years, something like that?
I don't know if it's been 50. I think it's been 15.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It's a big number.
I'll look it up
right
now. You talk. You say things.
But I love good old-fashioned rivalries. I love hatred. It's fantastic. It bleeds over because, you know, you get that border war craze and, you know, the Oregon State, Oregon, because of how close, especially when schools are very close to each other geographically. I wish USC and UCLA had this because they're in the same city, but it just never really amounted to much. It's never really meant that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rivalry, so to speak, but it's not. Oregon State, Oregon at least have had times when things were on the line for both teams and it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
But that hatred isn't there. Oklahoma, Texas, the Red River rivalry, love that.
Love that.
I love good Ohio State, Michigan. I love a good old fashioned rivalry, man. When you've got true blue dyed in the wool, unadulterated hate, I love it.
Of course you.
Are you kidding me? Michigan planting the flag and Jack Sawyer just turning into a 5-year-old petulant child. Oh, just. Right in the veins. You kidding me? Because now you've got to stew on that for a year. Or in Sawyer's case, it's the way you went out.
A lot of this is because Missouri left the SEC because it looks like they played every single year since 1891.
Yeah, and they
and the last time they played was 2011.
So it was 14. It would have been 15 years.
Yeah, okay. And these games are all in like late September, October, November. So they were conference rivalries.
And the one thing Kansas that. Tell you, you know, is hey, remember Missouri was on the side of slavery.
I didn't need to go there for that.
But look, I know a lot of Kansas folks.
There's one here at the station.
I'm sure he'll bring them.
Rock chalk, dude.
Yeah. But you know, I love a good old fashioned petty rivalry. And shout out that kid.
Does anybody remember in 2007? Missouri beat Kansas 36-28. Missouri was the third ranked team in the nation.
Is that the quarterback? Chase Daniel. Is that Chase?
It's gotta be Chase.
Cover of SI.
Gotta be Chase.
I'm almost certain that is.
Kansas won in 2008.
Chase Daniel, Missouri.
2011 to 2025. That's the big jump. Well, I hope apparently they're gonna play it next year. Or sorry, they're not gonna play it. No, they are. It'll be at Kansas Memorial Stadium in 2026. Then it's only on the books in 31-32. Look, guys, you got to figure this stuff out. I understand
that Chase was there from 05 to 08.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I get it that conference realignment and stuff like that kind of messes with some of these rivalries. Like, we're seeing it with the Civil War right now, but the Apple Cup's figuring it out. Missouri, Kansas, you guys got to figure this out. I want more petty border wars.
Yes, border wars are great, dude.
Look, man, we just played our border war and almost lost. Mm. Anything can happen.
Yeah. When true...
I don't have a pulse on either of these teams this
when
year.
When true no hatred idea. Is there, it you can throw stuff out the window. I mean, Oregon State, Oregon. When Oregon State runs the ball, was it 13 straight times? That was not a great Oregon State team.
That was amazing.
Hatred can fuel you, man.
That was amazing.
It's like Northern Arizona. I've brought this one a couple times over the last couple weeks. Northern Arizona plays Arizona and Arizona State tight, regularly. And they are nowhere near the level of program.
Missouri leads this series 57-55 with nine ties.
See, it also has to be contested. You can't have one team just dog walking the other for 20 years.
There's a little footnote here. Kansas beat Missouri 23-7 in 1960. And the Big Eight at the time ended up forfeiting that game. I'm not sure why,
like it matters to anybody who was there. It's like USC getting sanctions.
To anybody that was there,
to anybody who watched it happen,
that's 65 years ago.
I'm saying the whole idea of getting rid of, like, vacating.
If you were a student, you're in your 80s.
Hey, but I'm saying
late 80s.
Any type of vacated win, Ohio State, Michigan. My USC, favorite, any of them.
My favorite is Mario Chalmers hit that shot to win a natty for Kansas against nobody.
Yeah, it's like...
That's my favorite one.
It's like, come on, what are we doing here? We all watched it. We all saw what happened.
I wonder why they vacated.
Yeah, back then...
They forfeited the win.
Back then, you know, what is it? We did the trophies in college football last year. Was it the Floyd of Rosedale that came out of, it was Minnesota and somebody else, and they made it a pig because somebody's mayor or governor was super racist?
Yeah, basically, yeah, that sounds about right. And I think it was like the Floyd of Rosedale, and they made it a pig because, not good dude.
Yeah, because the I can't remember which side of it was, but one of them was just, and then it's like, didn't they like try to like spike the water, like poison the water or something like that? Like, you go back in some of the histories of these rivalries, man, We did this last year, and we did the best trophies in college football, and we did the deep dive history research on a lot of these trophies, and man, there was some nasty stuff in there.
Oh, I believe it.
You're just like, oh my God. But yeah, no, I love rivalries. I love it when students and alumni care enough to go bleep somebody else on TV or at halftime. Did he get escorted out by security or anything?
I don't think so, no.
I love to see it.
Well, what? I mean, you can't. It's at Missouri.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
you can't kick that guy out.
I'm just saying. You're like, all right, come on, dude. All right.
The 1960 Missouri-Kansas football game is a controversial contest. This is AI, so bear with me here. Where Kansas defeated Missouri 23-7, but the win was later forfeited by Kansas to Missouri after the Big Eight Conference declared Kansas player Bert Kahn ineligible for the season. The ruling led to a one-year probation for Kansas and gave Missouri the conference title. But the official record remains disputed between the two universities. Bert Kahn, a Kansas player, was deemed ineligible by the conference after a booster had illegally paid for a plane trip for him to an all-star game.
Could you say he was a con man? Got him. Thank
great.
You. Thank you. Yeah, even boosters were doing it even back then, folks.
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, give me hatred. Bring back hatred. I love hatred in sports.
Well, it's all we got in college football now.
Well, I mean, just
everything else is
sport
gone.
In general, I don't
taking everything else away from me. Let me at least hate somebody.
Look, everybody talks about, well, you know, it's about the competition, the camaraderie. No, great sport is about hatred.
Hatred and pettiness.
It is. Tell me the best matchups of all time in sports. What do they all have in common?
Hatred.
Hatred. USSR. Miracle on Ice. Hatred.
I don't hate the Russians, in case they're listening.
USSR. They don't even exist anymore.
It's okay. We don't work in a tall building.
You know,
Patrick died after falling out of a window on the first floor Odyssey. It's like, that ain't good.
But I'm saying, like every last Jesse Owens stunting in front of Hitler.
That's pretty rad.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just pure unadulterated hatred, and I live for it.
I can't believe he's alive. That's crazy.
So
well, not
good.
Now, but. All right, we come back. We got a loaded third hour here. Buckle up, guys. Buckle up. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for Danny polishing that Caleb Williams turd. Here we go. For 60 minutes.
At least one half of it.
60 minutes. We're coming live at you. Portland sports leader, don't you forget it. 105.1 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.